Good morning, nice to see you. It's good to be back. For those of you that need a family connection, Carol Taylor would be my mum. Lots of familiar faces. Actually, these are my ages caught up with me, so you're kind of all blurred. I'll have to go on and off with the reading glasses. David and Goliath, great story. Story that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with. For me, it's an adventure story, David and Goliath. Adventures in faith, if you like. Allowing God to guide us. That's our adventure of faith, isn't it? It's what we live for. Living by biblical truths. But sometimes part of our faith adventure is challenging, is it not? It's difficult. David literally faced an actual giant. But in our own lives, of course, we face giants of different things. Maybe not an actual 9-foot giant, but certainly challenges and difficulties. And I think there's a few things, as always, that we can learn from our scripture passage this morning about what it means to face challenges in our lives. But before we get into that, can I pray again and ask God to speak to us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that when we read it and we think about it, that you reveal yourself to us. And so we ask this morning that you would do that again, that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, show us again something new of yourself. In your name we pray. Amen. So there's always going to be giants and challenging things in your life. I'm going to have to take these off. I can't be dealing with that from having a clear vision of the people in front of me. There's always going to be challenges in your life. Goliath, a 9-foot giant with massive weapons, a huge spear. Pretty intimidating. A visual sight, I'm sure, to behold. But I wonder this morning, what are your giants? What are the things in your life that you are finding difficult or challenging? Things in your thought life, maybe. Things in your character. Attitudes that you might have. Fears that you might have. Anxieties. Just not knowing. All of those things can seem like a 9-foot giant, can't they, at times? Maybe you've kind of got to the point where you think, I just can't get over this giant. It's too big. It's just too difficult. But this morning, our Bible passage tells us that that's not true. That you can overcome your difficulties, whatever they may be. Giants will always be there, I think, in our lives. But remember, the Bible tells us we have a God who's bigger. Bigger than any giant that is in front of us, no matter how visually intimidating it might appear. In 1 John chapter 4, we read and we're reminded that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And it's something that, you know, perhaps we believe it in our heads, but when we face that difficult time, we forget that. And we don't allow the truth of that to sink deep into our hearts. But it's true. Whatever your giant is this morning, God is bigger than it. Giants, difficulties, I think, can also make us doubt the truths in Scripture or the promises in God's Word. In our Bible passage, we read in these verses, Goliath speaking, "Why do you come out and lie in front of me for battle? Choose a man. Have him come down and I'll basically slaughter him. Who are you to come against me?" And isn't that how we feel sometimes when we look at those difficult things? Those challenges can seem so large. But remember, Remember back to the Garden of Eden. The lies of the devil. Did God really say? You know, how often does that voice whisper in our hearts and lives? Did God really say? Are you sure? And it's a voice we shouldn't listen to. It's a voice that the Bible says is from the Father of lies. Does God really love me? Remember what you said last week, this morning. Remember what you did. Can you really be a Christian? Yes. Because that's the wrong voice to listen to. Challenges can always do that to us. We can listen to the voices of the world, I believe, sometimes, and allow those voices to influence how we act. Perhaps an overemphasis on stuff and money. We haven't got too far, I believe, to look in the world where we see a lot of people that would not believe that there is any absolute truth in anything at all. There are no moral absolutes. Just do feel, you know, just do what feels right to you. That's okay. As long as it feels right to you, you're okay. We look around and we see people living life how they want. You can believe in your God, but I've kind of got my own God. You know. Surely there are many ways to heaven anyway. There's so many different things when we look around. The giants in our lives can cause us, I believe, to focus on wrong things and on the wrong voices. So how do we get past that? Well, I think there's a, not necessarily a simple way, because it's hard work, but we read God's word a lot. We meditate on it. As I was preparing this, a little Sunday school song came back to mind, and it's so true. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. It kind of is that simple. But you have to do it, of course. You have to do it. There's some different responses in our passage this morning by the different characters involved. I want to consider initially Eliab's response, David's elder brother. We read this. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man, he burned with anger and he asked him, "Why have you come down here? And whom did you leave the few sheep in the wilderness with? I know how conceited you are and wicked of heart. You only came down to watch the battle." Interesting response. David, of course, is sent by his father. And his elder brother, his reaction to him, said, "What are you doing here? You come just to watch the battle?" The voice of negativity, perhaps. The voice of criticism. Happens a lot. Go back to the sheep. Who are you to be here? Why are you here? A big, I guess, glasses, not just half empty, but completely empty kind of response. Unfortunately, I think this attitude can be present in churches and in our Christian communities. When somebody has a new thought on how to evangelize more effectively, a new thought out about how to help the believers in a congregation grow and develop, changes. I think it's easy to kind of have that. Who are you to have that idea? Go back to your sheep. Leave us alone. But I don't think that's the right response to challenges and difficulties and giants in our lives. Now, giants can seem big and complex and scary issues, and when new things are suggested, it's easy to have that response, I think, from a human perspective. Go back to your sheep. Just leave us alone. But I don't think that's the right response. Saul has a different response. What does Saul do? "Here, David, have my armor." Now, on the face of it, I think there's a logic in that. There's a sense of that. What would you do when you want to fight a warrior? Well, kit out your champion with the best stuff, and the king would have the best stuff, the best armour. So I think there's a degree of logic in what Saul tries to do. But I think that illustrates the response of human wisdom. The human response, if you like. But the Bible tells us we respond in a different way. We don't just use our human intellect, if you like. And one of the reasons I asked for Ephesians 6 to be read this morning is because that passage really reminds us about what our response should be when we face our challenges and our difficulties. Our struggle, the struggle against those things, is not against flesh and blood at the end of the day. Ephesians reminds us it's against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, what do? You put on the armour of God. I just want to read those couple of verses again, and I don't need to preach this. Just let the words of Scripture sink into your heart. They don't need any addition from me. Here's what you do. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Those things which we develop as we are serious in our relationship with the Lord. That's how we can face our giants. Then, of course, we come to David. What is David's response? Well, he puts off Saul's armour and he goes back to what he believes is right. And he takes 5 stones. There are commentators that kind of suggest, they ask the question, why 5 stones? Well, these commentators suggest that actually Goliath had brothers, 4 of them. So David took 5 stones in anticipation of it wasn't just going to be Goliath, maybe. Maybe it was Goliath and 4 further battles. To me, that just reminds us how prepared David was, how willing he was. David's response, a response of courage to go out and face the enemy, to go out and face the giant. Because he realized and he had the knowledge of serving a God who is greater and who is able. If you reflect for a moment in your own lives, how many times and occasions have you seen God work and be the one who is able for you? The situation that you found difficult, the help that you needed. God always comes through. It's not always in the way we expect sometimes, but he always comes through. He never lets us down. We can respond to our difficulties and challenges with courage. David had confidence. A confidence that came from a life being prepared for this point. As a shepherd, we read, he was used to the battle against bears and lions. I mean, personally, I'm not quite sure which one's worse. A 9-foot human or a bear or a lion. But David had confidence. God prepared him. That's what God does in our lives. He prepares us in our lives and the circumstances that we face. It's all for a reason. It's all for a purpose. And I don't believe, or I believe it's significant, that Goliath didn't come immediately in David's life. His Goliath came when the right time was. He had the bears and the lions first. And that's what God does in our lives, isn't it? The way he prepares us, the things that we experience, it's all for a reason. And when we get to that point where we think, I'm not sure I can move forward, Lord. The voice that we should listen to is the voice of the Lord, which says, remember when I did that for you. Remember when I did this. Remember the time before. That's how we can respond with confidence. David was prepared. He picked out his stones. He goes and arms himself with what is familiar to him. I think that just reminds me that it's always important to stay prepared. How do we stay prepared generally in our Christian life? Well, we're serious about our ongoing relationship with God. It's not just a Sunday thing or a just for a special occasion thing. It's part of our lives. And we pray and we read God's word and we have fellowship with other people. All those things which are basic, if you like, we know them. But sometimes we kind of get a little lax in doing them. But it's important to keep doing those things. David had huge trust, not in his own ability, but in his God. Huge trust. And he wins the victory. Because actually the victory wasn't his to win. It was God's to win. He used David to win that victory, but it wasn't his personally to win. It was the Lord's. You know, there's a song, I haven't sung it for ages. Took a lad to look at the words on the internet because I had forgotten them. In heavenly armour we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's what we see in this passage. For our family, our personal adventure of faith for the last 16 years has been in the Philippines, in Manila, teaching at a Christian school for missionary kids called Faith Academy. 16 years is a long time. It's a long time. But there were giants in our experience to do that. Right at the beginning of that journey. So, these are some of the voices that, you know, you can listen to. So, you're going to give up what's a reasonably secure teaching job in the UK. You're going to give up financial security to a degree. So you're going to go raise your family in a foreign culture. You're going to take all the family and at that point, probably the grandkids that will come. You're going to take them away from your grandparents. Who are you to be a missionary anyway? Missionaries are far more spiritual than you are. Far more on fire for the Lord. And those are the voices that can come. Or the voices that came for me. But 16 years later, that's not the reality. The reality is when God calls, whatever it is, you say yes. And if the going means literally to a new geographical place, then so be it. But sometimes the going, what God is asking you to do, isn't necessarily a geographical place. It's a go and connect with this person because they need you. They might not know they need you yet. Actually, they need the Lord and you're going to be the one. So will you go? Will you be brave and open your mouth and say something about the hope that is inside you when the opportunity comes? Will you be brave to face that giant? Many different things that the Lord asks us to do, to go in different ways. But this story reminds us He is able. In our personal lives, when things are so difficult. You know, when we look at people that we know, aren't we amazed as we look at the roads that some people travel and how difficult life seems for them? But they are an amazing witness. How do they do that? It's because they remember their giant is actually, when compared to the Lord, tiny. And he is huge. That's how they do it. God is faithful. For us, as we move on to Hong Kong. International Christian School of Hong Kong is where we'll be going. We leave in 2-3 weeks. That's our next step. Our next giant. Will people like you? You've got to start over again in a new place. Will the kids be okay? Will they make friends? Will they fit in? Will we be kind of successful? Will God use us? Yeah, he will. He will. Because those giants, when compared with what God is going to do, there's just no comparison. So I just want to leave you with a question. In your faith adventure, what is, well, two questions, I'm sorry. Is there a giant right now for you in your life? If so, take courage from what we read this morning. Don't be Eliab or Saul, be David in your response. And what has God got in store for you? This story for me, there's an element of David had to do something. He had to take action. And the Christian life has always been about, it comes to the point where we do something. We go somewhere. We say something. We act in a particular way. So what is God challenging you on that front? How can you be brave? What areas is he having you think about? What areas next week will he take you to? Who will you interact with? Who will you speak to? When you do that, remember David. Remember his response. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray particularly for those of us right now who in their mind's eye, they know their giant. They know their challenge and difficulty, and it seems so big. And I pray for anybody of that mind this morning, please encourage them. May they see victory soon. As we consider our own lives and walk with you, Lord, please remind us and challenge us that because you are so big, so amazing, that we can walk forward with confidence, that we can ask you with confidence to show what are the next steps for each one of us. What are the ways that we can step out in faith for you in the coming days? Lord, we ask that we would do that in your name and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the time this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.